Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In my experience, there are two types of Christians. Maybe you haven't heard this before, but I'm pretty sure this is the way it works, and this is biblical. There are Christians that are now Christians, and there are Christians that are not yet Christians. Again, there are Christians that are now, and there are Christians that are not yet. Let me explain. Christians that are now focus on what God is doing presently, right in front of us. They tend to be very optimistic. This may be you, by the way. I want you to think about this. They tend to really look every day for what God is doing presently in their life. They might say something like this: God gave me the strength to overcome a personal struggle. Now, they're talking about. Or they might say something like this. They might say, I saw my neighbor and I saw that right now God has given them full restoration for health. That's happened this last week in our congregation, actually. Now, someone might say something like this. Today, I'm going to wake up and see what God is going to do in my life today, right in front of me. Now. Christians that focus on now, again, place their hope and really look for what's right in front of them. They don't look so much off into the future, but they look at what's right in front of them. And by the way, if you're a now Christian, there's great biblical evidence for your position. Here's a couple passages that speak to right now how God has done something for you in your life. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 says, "You are sons and daughters through faith." The verb there is present. You are a son, a daughter. You can't take that away right now. Or how about this one? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 2. The verb tense is very much so in play and for us to pay attention to. Paul says this, "I remind you of the gospel for which you are saved." You are saved. Now. Not 60 years down the road or 180 years when Jesus comes again. That text is saying right now you are in a saved condition. That's now Christians. Now let's get to those Christians that are not yet Christians. Now not yet Christians focus on the future, what God is going to do out in the distance. Maybe that's you. Now, not yet Christians tend to be, in my perspective, a little bit more, I don't want to say negatively, but because I would maybe describe myself as a not yet Christian, they can sometimes be a little more pessimistic. By that I mean they see the things that are right in front of them that God is doing, but they see that it's just not right quite yet, but it will be in the future. They also see the things that are wrong around the world. They see brokenness, the brokenness in relationships, and they recognize that in the future there will be no more harm, no more regret, no more pain. But then they pipe up and say, not yet. They see injustice in the world and how people are not treated well. But they recognize that in the future, all rights, all wrongs, I should say, will be right, but it's just not yet. They see sin and death, and they understand that Jesus paid for the price for sin and death and gave victory a long time ago on the cross. But they understand that sin and death won't be fully defeated until Jesus comes again. It's just not yet. Not yet Christians place their hope in the future. By the way, if you're a not yet Christian, there's biblical support for your position. Here's one. The very end of the Bible, Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. If you're looking to the future for hope, it says this. It's a great one. Every tear, I will wipe away every tear from their eye. By the way, this is Jesus speaking. I will wipe away every tear from their eye. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, and no more pain. Now, it doesn't say it in the Bible, but you could put it in. Just not yet. That's going to be in the future. So which one are you this morning, or this evening, or if you're tuning in? Are you a now Christian? You look for what God's doing presently in your life? Or are you a not yet Christian? You look for your hope in the future, in what God will do to restore all things. Well, no matter what you are, now or a not yet Christian, there's going to be frustration in your life. Take, for example, if you are a now Christian and you're hanging out with a not yet Christian. Maybe you've had this experience. You might say something like this. Today, I saw God do something very powerful in my life. And then comes that not yet Christian who walks up and says, you know, it's really not that great. We really need to wait until God comes fully and restores all things. That's kind of a downer moment. You don't feel so good when that happens. Or if you're a not yet Christian and you're hanging out with a now Christian, you say something like this. You say, boy, I just can't wait for God to fix all the troubles that are going on in the world with the coronavirus and with all the injustice that I see. And a now Christian comes in and says, brighten up. God is doing some great things right now in front of you. If you're a now Christian, you see, you might be frustrated in these days because you might not be seeing as many things that you saw before a few months ago. If you're a not yet Christian, you may be frustrated because you're waiting and waiting and you see all the pain. Maybe you're becoming a little bit cynical. There's a reason for all this frustration and the tension between now Christians and not yet Christians. And it's described in our text, Jesus' parable of the weeds. There is evil amongst us. It's been sown into the field by someone. Frustration, sin, death, pain, disease, famine. The world isn't what it was supposed to be. Jesus doesn't pretend that it's not there. He says that evil has been sown into the harvest. It exists. Now, that may not sound like a profound thought, but my friends, it truly is, because Jesus could have said something different here. See, my friends, Jesus could have said, hey, everybody, pretend that evil really isn't here. Wouldn't that be a great way to live? Just blink your eyes and just wish, kind of like Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz, I wish evil was gone. You know, like a disease. If you went to bed and just thought, if I dream hard enough and get a good night's sleep tomorrow morning, it'll be all gone. Or like thinking of that person that died in your family, tragically. Boy, if I just muster enough strength inside of myself, it will all be gone tomorrow. Or that great tragedy that happened. If you just practice enough inner strength, that evil that happened will go away. Wouldn't that be a great religion if you could just try hard to garner enough inner strength to remove all evil around you? Actually, there is a religion that teaches that. Buddhism. That's the exact teaching of Buddhism, actually. Buddhism teaches that there is no external source for evil. All evil resides within our hearts, inside our actions that we take. And if we try hard enough and think hard enough, we can bring inner peace and we can get rid of evil. It's actually also the teaching of Christian Scientists as well. Ron Hubbard many, many years ago. What an easy way to follow the things that are going on in the world. Just pretend that evil doesn't exist. Jesus does not teach that. Jesus teaches evil exists. It's here in our passage. Now, Jesus could have said something else here in this passage. Jesus could have said, as evil exists, he could have said, evil exists, but you know, God is not actually that powerful. He can't really do anything about this evil that is around us. Of course, Jesus didn't say that. But my friends, that is the classic argument for evil in the history of the world. This is the classic argument for evil. If God is all-powerful, and God is all good, and evil exists, all those three things can't be true, they say. Now, just think about that for a moment. I know this is philosophy, but I just want you to let this sink in for a moment. If God is all good, in other words, he created the world, he has good intentions for you and me, if God loves us and he wants us as his sons and daughters, if God is good, and if God is all-powerful, he created the world, and all the words that we said there in the beginning of our service, how he created the world, the wind, the waves, all of that, and he's all-power and can do anything, and evil exists, why doesn't God, who's good and all-powerful, just get rid of evil? If he can't get rid of evil, this is a classic argument, God is either not powerful, or not all that powerful, or God is not good. Jesus could easily say that here. But my friends, here's the thing. Jesus does not say that. Throughout his teachings in the Gospels and throughout his life, he made those threefold statements that are so contradictory in college studies and the way it's taught. Jesus fully taught God is all-powerful, God is good, evil exists. That's confounding. And Jesus actually in this passage and throughout the Bible, there is really no explanation for why evil exists. It's just there. But here's the focus of the parable, my friends, and what you can take to heart. Our comfort is not that we have a clear explanation for the evil that happens around us, for a virus or for death. Our comfort is in the fact that we have the Son of Man on our side. You see, in the parable of the weeds, there is one person who's there at the very beginning when the seeds are sown, and there's one person who collects the harvest. It's mentioned by name by Jesus, the Son of Man. Jesus. Our hope is that there is that person, one person, who's there from the beginning all the way to the end. You know, a few years ago in the community of Philomath, there was a lady who she was a member of this church. Her name was Laverne Sandrock, and many of you know who she is. She was a beloved member of the community of this church. And the thing about Laverne Sandrock, Jan, you may know this, is that Laverne Sandrock opened and closed Mount Union Cemetery every day. How many years? Decades. 30 years, let's say. Rain, sleet, sun. I don't think she missed the day. And I'm pretty sure everyone in the community pretty much could bank on there's nothing bad going on or nothing's reckless happening up at the cemetery. And the reason why you could count on that, you see, was because Laverne Sandrock was there at 7 o'clock in the morning to open the cemetery, and she was there every single time to shut it down. My friends, God, through his son Jesus in this parable, is saying this is exactly what you have in the Son of Man. He is the Alpha, he is the Omega, he is the beginning, he is the end. He was there at creation when the seeds were sown and thrown out. He will be there when the harvest comes. He will be there throughout, and he was most definitely there on the cross when he died for your sins. There's not a great explanation for evil, but there's a clear explanation that Jesus will be with you and was with you or was with all of us or was with those who were on earth when creation happened, and he'll be with us when harvest time comes. That's our hope. So let's go back to this. Are you a now Christian? In other words, do you place your hope in what God does for you each day in your life? I want to give you encouragement today. Keep going, because that's a great way to live. God will continue. His kingdom is here and at work today, here, now. But remember, in the future, it's even going to be better. Are you a not yet Christian? That's great too. And my encouragement is be that way. Recognize that the future is going to be amazing when Jesus comes again and puts everything back together. But do remember this, the kingdom is at work right now. The harvest is growing. God is doing things right in front of your midst. Evil is a reality. Evil is powerful. But the Son of Man is a reality too. And he is more powerful. Amen. We're going to now continue our worship service as Vicar Dollar leads us in a time of prayer. Let us rise as we join our voices and our hearts in those prayers.